Today, Sunday, May 14th, is marked as a special day in our nation as a time to honor mothers. The average American, mother or not, regards this day as an important and special day. For mothers especially, it is a day in which they are honored, showered with love and appreciation, and oftentimes spoiled. Typically, it is a day marked with great joy. But there's also the reality that Mother's Day is painful. It is painful because they have had bad memories of their mothers. Painful because their mothers are no longer living. And for some women, Mother's Day is painful because they desire to have physical children, but God has not yet opened the womb, or they are unable physically to have children. Perhaps for some, this day is hard because you have had children, but have lost them to death. Or you have children, but they are very distant and uninvolved in your life. Whatever the situation you find yourself this morning, I pray that God will show you through His Spirit and Word that there is peace and comfort through the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Knowing that we have women dealing with every circumstance that I have described, I do not wish to preach directly to mothers about motherhood. Rather, I want to address all females, girls and women, by laying before your eyes a woman in Scripture that God highlights as a virtuous woman, a woman that ought to be patterned by all Christian women, whether they are young, old, single, married, mothers, or faithful wives. This woman is described for us in Proverbs chapter 31. And from this chapter, I would like to preach to you a message I've entitled, "The Characteristics of a Virtuous Woman." The characteristics of a virtuous woman. Now, before I read this chapter to you, I must caution everyone at the beginning that what we are about to read is so countercultural that it is strongly hated and shunned by most individuals, especially God-hating liberal feminists. This should not surprise us, however, because everything that is of God is countercultural and despised by the world. So why do we stand surprised? What we are about to read is not only countercultural to the world, I'm seeing as I study the Scriptures more and more that it is strange and unfamiliar to born-again Christians as well. And though such truths may be foreign to our world and to our understanding, I must, as an ambassador of God, tell you the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, and let you wrestle with the truth so that you might be set free from the bondage of unfamiliarity. Amen. So all this to say that some of these things may be new to you, some of these things may be uncomfortable to you, but I pray and trust that it will all be helpful to you as we look at this rare jewel described for us in the Word of God. And men, look up here. If you think you're off the hook because it's Mother's Day, think again. I think you know me and my style of preaching by now to know that somehow, some way, I'll be sure to direct you with the Word of God. So stay attentive. It's not nap time, all right, men? So let's stand together, Proverbs 31. Proverbs 31, we begin by reading verse number 10. Proverbs 31, beginning in verse 10, if you will, follow along as I read. These are the words of King Lemuel, the prophecy that his mother taught him. "Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeketh wool and flax, and worketh willingly with her hands. She is like the merchant's ships, She bringeth her food from afar. She riseth also while it is yet night, and giveth meat to her household, and a portion to her maidens. She considereth a field, and buyeth it. With the fruit of her hands she planteth a vineyard. She girdeth her loins with strength, and strengtheneth her arms. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good, her candle goeth not out by night. She layeth her hands to the spindle, and her hands hold the distaff. She stretcheth out her hand to the poor, yea, she reacheth forth her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. She maketh herself coverings of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sitteth among the elders of the land. She maketh fine linen and selleth it, and delivereth girdles unto the merchant. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. She looketh well to the ways of her household, and eateth not the bread of idleness. Her children arise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praiseth her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Favor is deceitful, and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. You may be seated. Well, most people are familiar with the various truths recorded for us in Proverbs 31. Most people do not know that this chapter is a chapter of poetry, Hebrew poetry, consisting of two poems. The first poem recorded for us is found in verses 2 through 9, and the second poem is recorded in verses 10 through 31, that which we have just read. And both poems were taught to this king, King Lemuel, by his mother. Ancient Jewish tradition and many Christian writers identify King Lemuel as King Solomon. Now, whether this is true or not remains debated, but what we do know is that Proverbs 31, 10 through 31, is a beautiful, arranged alphabetical poem that describes a godly wife that is called by God in the Scriptures an honorable woman whose worth is above the finest of jewels. In examining the qualities of this model Christian woman, I want us this morning to consider six main characteristics that made her what she was. Six main characteristics, ladies, that you should pray for and desire in your life. The first virtuous characteristic that we see here in this chapter, that we find in the life of this virtuous woman, is that she is loyal to her husband. She is loyal to her husband. Verses 11 and 12. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. Immediately, we learn that this woman is a happy married woman. For this woman, marriage was not a dread, but a delight. It was not a prison, but a privilege and a pleasure. And we know that her marriage was a happy one because of what we read in verses 11 and 12. We find two great features of what her relationship with her husband was like. We find first and foremost that her husband trusts her. Her husband trusts her. Over the years, I have learned through experience, over counseling with others, over books that I have read, that a happy home is a home where both spouses can trust one another fully. That home where the wife can trust her husband and the husband can trust the wife is a peaceful home and a home that is pleasant to live in. On the contrary, that home where the wife cannot trust the husband and the husband cannot trust the wife is a home of contention. It's a home that is not a happy home. But what we find here in Proverbs 31 is a happy home. And it is a happy home because The husband loves the wife, and the wife loves the husband. And we find this wife, this virtuous woman, as one who is loyal to her husband. We find a marriage that is without any fear of unfaithfulness or unproductiveness. We find a husband that loves and trusts his wife because this woman is a trustworthy woman. And being trustworthy, she manages the home while he is away working, providing for the family. He has no need to worry about the welfare of the children and the domestic duties that lie before her. She can be trusted. She is loyal to her husband. But then we also see, verse number 12, she is constant in her love toward her husband. The Bible says she will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. This is a woman that is fulfilling her God-given responsibility by being a helpmeet and not a hurtmeet, if that's a word. And this is a woman who is resolved to live out her vows for better, for worse, for richer, for poorer, in sickness and in health, till death do us part. In the heart of this woman, there is no option of quitting. No thought of retreating to distant family members or friends. There is no picking up the phone to gripe and complain about the husband's blemishes. No, she is going to love and respect her husband despite all her husband's imperfections and failures. How rare is such a resolved, committed wife who seeks to do good to her husband and not evil all the days of her life. No doubt, this woman, knowing Hebrew history, knowing the scriptures, would have thought, this woman, King Lemuel's mother, writing this poem to the king, very familiar with the mother of Israel, if you will, Abraham being the father of Israel, the father of faith. No doubt she had in mind Sarah's reputation, Sarah's character. And we have it in 1 Peter recorded for us, chapter number 3, a very godly testimony of Sarah. And we read in Genesis chapter 12, as God is directing Abraham, using him to be the father of the nation Israel, that Sarah is one who submits. Sarah is one who loves Abraham and wants to do what God would have her husband to do. So familiar with these things, she has the first mother of Israel, Sarah, in her mind as a faithful and godly example, one who is loyal to her husband through all of his leadings and all of his letdowns. And Sarah was kind, tender-hearted, forgiving. And no doubt, King Lemuel's mother writing this poem about the virtuous woman thinks of Sarah and what she was like and how she followed her husband. May I say this, wives, there are two ways in which you can demonstrate your love toward your husband. Number one, you demonstrate your love through your speech by telling your husband that you love him, that he is your everything, that you would have no other choice in this world but to marry him. Ladies, do you do that? Do you, like this virtuous woman, seek to do your husband good? Do you come tenderly aside him and praise him for all that he is and all that he does? Another way in which you can demonstrate your love toward your husband is through your submission to his leadership. Now, many cringe at this word submission because they think the word submission in the terms of a marriage deals with a strong, angry tyrant who would have his own way, but that's not what we learn in Scripture. The word submission in Scripture is a humble word, is a word that is tied to the word charity and love. And when we speak of it in the terms of marriage, we are not speaking as it as a dictatorship, a man who has the wrong thinking of what submission to looks like, but one who tenderly, lovingly submits to the leadership of the husband, because that is what God has designed. So immediately we see the first characteristic, that she is loyal to her husband. Her husband trusts her, and she is constant in her love toward her husband. But then we see the second characteristic, and that is this, that she is diligent in her work. She is diligent in her work. For sake of time, I won't read it, but it's found throughout verses 13 through 25, all over the place. And verse number 27, she looketh well to the ways of her household and eateth not the bread of idleness. And she is a busy woman. She is a woman that works. And I want you to see first here the origin of her work. What is the origin of her work? Where does she work from? One word. Home. And it's repeated three times. Verse 15, verse 21, verse 27. She riseth also while it is yet night and giveth meat to her household and a portion to her maidens. Verse 21. She is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. Verse number 27. She looketh well to the ways of her household and eateth not the bread of idleness. Listen, the virtuous woman's primary work is not outside the home, it is inside the home. She is an entrepreneur of sorts, but her work is based from her home and secondary to her family. Her primary work is to be a faithful wife and loving mother. Now, let's draw a little asterisk note before you run off and take me wrongly. I in no way wish to present to you a legalistic, pharisaical point about this, in which some are of the understanding that all women who work outside the home are doing wrong and simply ungodly. Now, we understand that different homes, different families have different family dynamics and different needs. Amen? We understand that. So, ladies who work, don't feel guilty. Many of you I'm looking at now, you do have a job. You are faithfully serving at a Christian school, but you also are taking care of the home. And this is honorable. But I must say also, on the contrary, that as we read this portion of Scripture, as we search the entirety of Scripture, that you cannot deny that Scripture places a great deal of emphasis on a woman being a keeper of the home. If you would like to have a theological conversation over this, we can meet in my office tonight after the evening service. In the New Testament, we have the book of Titus, chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. Titus is typically brought into the pastoral epistles, and within the pastoral epistles, we see how ministry ought to be done and what the preacher ought to emphasize from the pulpit. Interesting enough that we find in Titus chapter 2, verses 1 through 5, this topic of marriage and women being keepers of the home. We see here Paul addressing Titus, "But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine." Was he going to talk to us about the Trinity, Jesus' atonement, the resurrection? Speak thou sound doctrine. Here it is. "That the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, in patience. The aged women, likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things. That they may teach the younger women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed." So he's telling us that the word of God could be blasphemed when one does not fulfill their God-given responsibility. So we see first here the origin of her work. The origin of this virtuous woman's work is her home. Then we also see the spirit of her work. the spirit of her work. How does she work? Well, she works willingly. Verse 13, she seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hand. You see, nobody has to pressure this woman to work. This woman is a self-starter. She desires to work because she is convinced by Almighty God that God has given her a work to do. To be a stay-at-home mom is not to watch Oprah and Dr. Phil all day. Now she has work, and she has work to do that will make a difference for time and eternity. She is a willing worker. And we also see she is a loving worker. Notice verse 15. She riseth also while it is yet night, and giveth meat to her household, and a portion to her maidens. What persuades her to wake up early, to stay up at night? Her love. Is she caring only for her household? No, verse number 20. She stretcheth out her hands to the poor, yea, she reacheth forth her hands to the needy. This virtuous woman is a woman who works willingly and lovingly. Those who truly love die to themselves. They sacrifice for others. She is sacrificing for her own family, and she is sacrificing those who are outside of her home. Perhaps you have a mother like that. Perhaps, men, you have a wife like that. One who sacrifices to make sure that there is food on the table when you come home from work. And she does it because of her love. Notice also she works tirelessly. Verse number 18. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good. Her candle goeth not out by night. In verse 27, she looketh well to the ways of her household and eateth not the bread of idleness. We could say that this woman works painstakingly. If that's a new word for you, that's homework. Take it home. Look in the dictionary. Painstakingly. She is not in bed until noon. She is not spending hours on Facebook while her home is a mess. She is not spending hours out with her friends shopping while her husband is doing the laundry and ironing and sewing at home. This woman hates to sit still. She hates to do nothing. She loathes watching TV for hours on end, searching social media until the late hours of the night, calling her friends on the phone, conversing in idle talk. This virtuous woman is conscious of her work and feels that it is a sin against God to be lethargic and loose in her work. Now, this woman, interesting, if it is Solomon, this woman is a woman who whatsoever her hands findeth to do, she does it with her might. She does it to the honor and glory of God. How rare is such a woman in our day who is diligent in her work at home and is such a devoted laborer. Our third point, we see that she is wise and kind in her speech, verse 26. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. When this virtuous woman speaks, she speaks with prudence. She is wise as a serpent and harmless as a dove. This woman is not a boisterous woman. She is not taking authority like a dictator. She is not overstepping her bounds towards her husband and others in authority. She is not overly talkative and foolish. The Bible says she is wise. Her mouth is filled with wisdom, and more specifically, the wisdom of God's word. Her mouth is filled with the wisdom of God's word because her heart is filled with the wisdom of God's word. Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Her mouth being filled with wisdom is a mouth that helps and counsels others. She is a true friend to those who are in need of wisdom those who are in need of godly advice where needed. And aren't you thankful for such women in your life? And others can benefit from you, ladies, being such a woman of wisdom. See, the world, who cares about the Scriptures? Who cares about being a woman of character? But you can truly make an impact if you are a woman of wisdom. See, also, her speech is filled with kindness. Verse 26. In her tongue is the law of kindness. This is a woman who prays, "Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight." Her speech is not filled with criticism, slanders, hatred, but a Christ-like kindness that is gentle, gracious, forgiving, full of praise to God. This woman speaks the truth, but she speaks the truth in love. And it's no wonder her husband trusts her. He sees all the benefits from her wise speech and kindness. You show me a woman who speaks foolishly, who speaks critical, and I'll show you one whose husband is one who's not sure if he can trust. Maybe you're here this morning, ladies, and you say, "Well, how can this woman be all that she is? What made her that way? Did she take a pill and voila, magically she was transformed into the virtuous woman? The virtuous woman pill, $9.99. Get yours now while the sale lasts." You say, "I want to be a woman loyal to my husband, diligent to my work, and kind in my speech. What do I have to do to have these characteristics in my life?" Well, our fourth point reveals the secret. It's not a pill. Verse number 30. She fears the Lord. Favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. She is all these things because of her relationship with the Lord. She fears the Lord. To fear the Lord is to stand in awe and in reverence of who He is. To fear the Lord is to place Him at the center of your life. To fear the Lord is to fear what men may, or not fear what men may think or do. This woman is a woman who loves the Lord supremely and seeks to live for Him. She is a woman who fears God and keeps His commandment. And I give you three subpoints under this. A woman who fears the Lord is a woman of the Word. She loves the Scriptures. She meditates on the Scriptures day and night, like the psalmist tells us in Psalm 1. The blessed man or the blessed woman is the one who meditates on God's Word day and night. Joshua 1:8. The book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest make thy way prosperous and have good success. This woman, who is a virtuous woman, who fears the Lord, is a woman who is in the Bible. She delights in the Scriptures. She delights in the law of her God. Coming to the Word of God is not a dread to her. Her daily devotions are not a dread, but a delight. She can't wait to fill her mind and heart with the Word of God. A woman who fears the Lord is also a woman of prayer. She daily seeks after God. She is constantly visiting God's throne of grace, casting her care upon the Lord, knowing that God cares for her. She is a woman of prayer. A woman who fears the Lord is a woman who loves the Savior intimately. She has a deep relationship with the Lord. Listen, Sunday services are not enough to feed her spiritually. Ladies' tea fellowships are not sufficient to strengthen her faith. She needs personal time with her God every day. This woman loves the Savior. The Proverbs 31 woman is like Mary in Luke 10, who sat at the feet of Jesus, desiring to learn and to be with Him. That's the virtuous woman. Yes, she loves her husband. Yes, she loves her children. But first and foremost in her heart, she loves the Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus told us that in the New Testament. If you love father or mother more than me, Jesus said, you are not worthy of me. Husbands, you should want your wife to love the Lord more than you. Wives, you should want your husband to love the Lord more than you. It's like the triangle illustration. You want to know a happy home, a healthy marriage relationship. You have husband on one side, wife on the other side. God is here on the top of the triangle. The closer each spouse comes to the Lord, the closer they come together. The farther they are from the Lord, the farther they will be in their home. If one spouse seeks the Lord and the other does not, there's still a distance. If the other spouse seeks the Lord and the other does not, there's still a distance. And so they're both seeking the Lord. And oh, how sweet is their marriage. She fears the Lord. She seeks first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Fifth characteristic, verse 10, she's rare. This virtuous woman is rare. Notice the first part, who can find a virtuous woman? What's her answer? Well, can we find her in our home? Can we find her in our church? Can we find her in our world? I hope so. Let me tell you why she's rare. She is rare because the world despises such a woman. The world today, through school teachers, magazines, movies, talk shows, and books, shouts to young girls, don't get married, don't have children, go to college, make lots of money, be independent, spoil yourself, travel around the world, speak your mind, picket men in authority you don't agree with, do what you want to do. I feel like I'm doing a Hillary campaign. Make yourself happy. Christianity makes women into hopeless slaves. Isn't that not what the world says? So such a woman is rare. And the virtuous woman is rare in Christian circles. Listen, because the mindset of the world has imprisoned Christian women. Most women are content with the status quo, marriage, home, and life. But ladies, listen, you must see through this fog and rise above these things and do all that you do for the glory of God. Don't be ashamed to be rare. Who cares what others think? Having others consider you to be something from the Little House on the Prairie. Who cares? Let them say what they will. Seek the smile of God over the smiles of men, and you will be greatly blessed. Quality number 6, verse 10, second part. She's not only rare, but she is precious. She's precious. Her value, her worth before God, what is it? More valuable than the finest of jewels. We treasure money in our nation, don't we? We have a high regard for money. That's what the lives of most people are all about. Seek money. Become a millionaire. Be successful. That is success in our world standard. Having lots of money, driving fancy cars, owning lots of homes. But God says that doesn't amount to being a woman who is described as that. You can have all the riches in the world, be miserable. You can be the poorest in the world and be prized in the sight of God. Ladies, don't let anyone tell you differently. If you are striving to be such a woman, you are a delight in the eyes of God. Let me turn to the application and conclusion. So we see these things in Proverbs 31. What's the application? Let me begin with the men. Are you still awake? Men. Married men. If you are married to such a woman, such a virtuous woman, a woman who showers you with her love, a woman who works hard to make the home a happy place, a woman who speaks kindness and wisdom with her mouth, if you are married to such a woman, if you have such a woman as your mother, praise God. Praise God. After you praise God, praise her. Don't we see that here in this chapter, verse 28? Her children arise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praiseth her. Yeah, but she'll become puffed up in her mind. I can't praise her. Come on. That's the excuse I make. Don't make it. I'm teasing. Praise her. Men, praise her despite all of her failures. Come alongside of her and worship and serve the Lord with her. Husbands, do you take your wives for granted? Not you, husbands, having plural wives. You, as a whole, husbands. They're not Mormons. Do you take your wife for granted sometimes? Let's all shake our head. Yes. Praise her. Leave thank you notes. Let her know how much you appreciate her. Yeah, that's sappy stuff. Now, your pastor, you're getting uncomfortable now. Asterisk note. Married men, you might stone me for this. We do not read of a virtuous man who stays at home, cooks, cleans, changes diapers. If you are physically able to work, you need to work. Different sermon, different time. We'll leave it at that. Single men. Oh yeah, now I've got the attention. Single men. Pray and look for such a woman described here in Proverbs 31. You're waiting on the Lord. Here are the qualifications. What kind of woman should I look for? A woman who looks like the models of this world, a woman who's rich, a woman who can cook enchiladas. What kind of woman? It's outlined right here, Proverbs 31. This is the woman that you should look for. Proverbs 18:22. Whoso findeth a wife findeth a good thing and obtaineth favor of the Lord. And you find a great thing when you find a wife that matches these characteristics. Application to women. Women, pray that God would transform you to be such a woman recorded in Proverbs 31 and strive to implement these characteristics in your life. Read this chapter over and over. Examine yourself in the light of them. Confess your sins. Strive, you won't be perfect, but strive to implement these things, and I guarantee you, you will have a happy marriage and happy home. I speak with the authoritative word of God as my witness. You say, you're only a 30-year-old young kid, what do you know? I know what God has told me. Single women, younger women, desire to be such a woman, such a wife, such a mother when you get older. Let the older women in the church come alongside you and help you to become a godly woman. Spiritual mothers, you say, well, I don't have any physical children here today. You're spiritual mothers. You're a mother in this church. I invite you to join me in prayer for our church, that we would be a church that would be a body of believers filled with such women. Proverbs 31 women. Why? Because such women make a powerful impact on the world for Christ. You say, really? Where? Do we find examples of that? Sarah, the Old Testament, Abraham's wife. Rebecca, 1 Samuel 1, Hannah, a godly mother. A godly mother who shaped the life of Samuel at a young age. Romans 16, we are met with a list of women who were actively involved in the church at Rome. Do women have a place in the church? Absolutely. They have an important place in the church. Read Romans chapter 16 and see Paul calling them out by name, praising God for them. Timothy's mother and grandmother, 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 5, were used of God to shape young Timothy, to preach the gospel to him so that he might be sent forth as a pastor. Read the testimony of Charles and John Wesley's mother. And see how their mother greatly influenced them in the ways of God. Read the testimony of Spurgeon and Spurgeon's mother praying for Spurgeon at a young age, praying that God would use him in the kingdom. Naomi, Ruth, women, virtuous women, used greatly by God, making an impact in this world for the Lord. And then we have, here in this chapter, chapter 31, verse 1, Lemuel's mother. Lemuel's mother, who taught this poem to Lemuel and was used of the Holy Spirit to teach us today. I have said it before, I'll say it again. As the home goes, so goes the church. As the church goes, so goes the nation. Why are we in trouble as a nation? We're in trouble because the church is not doing its proper job. And the church is not doing its proper job because oftentimes there are problems in the home. Home is where the character of children is formed. Mothers, you have one of the most important jobs in the world. And we acknowledge that. But we, with thankful hearts, remember our mothers and all that they have done for us. And may you ladies continue to be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your work is not in vain in the Lord. Would you join me in prayer?